Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue, your discussion, your input, your questions in relationship to the issue of the day. So let me remind you right up front, lest I forget it. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion about the issue we're talking about today, understanding the times. We're going to be talking about several things that's taking place nationally and globally, and we need to look at it through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I pray that you'll stay tuned, that you'll call others and ask them to join in the dialogue and discussion today. Understanding the times, I believe multitudes today, ladies and gentlemen, in the world are watching with fear, fearful for what they see taking place, fear for the future, fear of what's happening in Russia, fear of what we see taking place in China, fear of our government and what we see happening and things that have taken place in relationship to January 6th, the persecution and the prosecution of thousands of American citizens, all orchestrated, carried out, promulgated at the hands of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the left wanted to destroy Donald J. Trump in the future for his running for office. The January 6th committee was designed for that purpose. It was orchestrated as a theatrical presentation and with a bias, only to find out now that the leader of that committee said that none of the video footage that's now being made available, 41,000 clock hours, none of that footage was ever shown to the January 6th committee, and yet they made a decision that Trump had caused an insurrection. Well, it's my prayer each and every day that there will be justice for those that have been incarcerated for almost 3 years without speedy trials, without having the right of being officially charged and arraignment and hearings in relationship to their charges or what would be considered charges. So, ladies and gentlemen, we must realize that God is still in control. He's still on the throne. Nothing takes him by surprise. Understanding the times, ladies and gentlemen, requires that we view each and every event locally, statewide, and nationally, and internationally. We need to view those events through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. God's word is the truth book. In John 8:31-32, with the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he points to John 17:17 with a declaratory statement, makes the statement, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God that we ought to depend on, ought to lean on, need to understand the word of God to be able to depend on it as total truth, ladies and gentlemen. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be de facto truth today, if I can use the spin on the term and understand it. That's exactly what we see happening. May I say, it's the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And yet we find the latest survey shows that 55% of those that are 18 to 39, 35-year-old age group, the millennials, they make a statement that I find frightening. They say each person determines their own version of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, we're finding more and more of that age group moving into levels of leadership politically, socially, economically, religiously. And yet there's the feeling that each and every one determines his own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement, used it each and every day as part of the monologue introduction to the broadcast. And I believe it's fitting even today. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I challenge you, our listeners, each and every day with that mantra, if you will, that we need to literally seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the hurricane preparedness equipment. They can answer your question about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. They're at 11-291-11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find the flag and the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions. House and grounds and maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about understanding the times, and not being fearful. In fact, for the Christian, the Bible is very, very clear in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God's not given us a spirit of fear. And I talk about that quite often because we're watching a globe that seems to be, appears to be, spinning out of control, but God's still on the throne. God's still in control. It's not spinning out of control as God sees it. But from the human standpoint, it seems as though everything's out of control. We watched an election here in Duval County just yesterday, and it appears to be the mindset and the motives of all of those that are running, multitudes of them at least, were totally different from what we should be expecting in the times in which we're living in. We are watching the times that the Scripture speaks of in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, deadly. And we're watching those days today. But ladies and gentlemen, a good example of what we see taking place, and we need to view it through the prism of the Word of God, a good example of that is the headline that reads this. Listen to this headline. Ex-CDC chief warns of coming great pandemic, worse than COVID. Let me read you a few words of it. Then we're going to introduce our guest for today. The former chief of the America's Center for Disease Control says the next pandemic to hit the world will be the greatest pandemic, and it will be brutal, and it will come from gain-of-function research. This article continues, I do believe the next pandemic, and we're going to have another pandemic, and I think it's going to be the greatest pandemic. I consider COVID a minor pandemic. The greatest pandemic is going to come, he said, this writer said. But it's much more probable that it will happen because of gain-of-function research in a laboratory than to escape, and then we're going to have, and then escape, and then we're going to have a pandemic, which will be much, much, much more brutal to the world than COVID ever was. COVID-19 pandemic actually is blamed for the deaths of some 7 million people around the globe, more than 1 million people in America, and uncounted trillions of dollars in damage to the Americans and the economies around the world. Experts now consider it likely that it came from Wuhan, China lab that was working on gain-of-function research projects with funding from the United States, including grants that went through the federal offices of Anthony Fauci, Joe Biden's chief COVID advisor. That research actually works on viruses, listen, to make them more contagious, more dangerous, more lethal, more deadly than ever before, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we see those from the human perspective that are projecting pathogens that are more dangerous, more deadly, more devastating than COVID, how do they know? Because that particular person, the former CDC director, he's totally familiar with what is called the gain-of-function research. He's totally familiar with the fact that U.S. tax dollars are paying for it. He's totally familiar with the fact, I believe, of the COVID-19 origin and how it was really released purposely and not accidentally from the Wuhan Chinese lab in Wuhan, China. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we think about Scripture, the Scripture warns us in Matthew 24, verse 5 and following, that we know that we're going to face diseases, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, floods, fires, and other serious devastating events around the globe. God's Word said it. That settles it. We're facing the precursors of those major signs that the Bible talks about in the last days. In fact, we're watching today, as we even speak these words, we're watching today something very, very vital that's taking place in the news. Our entire economic system is now exploding. May I say imploding? It's literally imploding. We can call it exploding, but it's imploding. Our military is weak. Our food supply is in serious condition, and we're witnessing the political persecution and prosecution in America as though we're a third world banana republic. Now, with all of that said, we're delighted to have with us today Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill was the former representative for District 1 in the Florida House of Representatives. We're delighted to have him. I always enjoy going to Congressman Hill with questions and dialogue and discussion about world events, national events. He has such a good handle on what is taking place and a response from a central biblicist worldview. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion on this show today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be on your show. And I'll start off by saying that the reason why the United States became such a great nation is because our founding fathers based our nation on some very fundamental principles. First of all, that government receives its just powers by the consent of the governed. In other words, it's we the people who are on top, and the government is on the bottom. We have documents that clearly state this. Our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. All of that sets the framework for the rule of law for our free market capitalist society to work. And the only way it can work is if there is a moral and religious people who will self-govern themselves and follow the rules. And what we are seeing right now, Dr. Youngblood, is our nation is led by a cabal of amoral, irreligious people who have no regard for our founding documents, who have no regard for following the rule of law, but instead are there simply to enrich themselves. You started off the show today by saying that a lot of people are fearful, but you also said God has not given us a spirit of fear. So what I'd like to offer, Dr. Youngblood, is we should be concerned. we should be concerned about what we see happening right now, not only in the United States, but around the world. But again, do not be afraid, because as you said, God is on the throne. We're just concerned. Be watchful and be wary.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, I'm looking at some articles. In fact, I've got dozens and dozens and dozens of articles about our current financial scenario in America. One headline reads, "Bank failure is just the tip of the iceberg under the Biden policies," an economist warns. Another one, "And a wicked Moody's financial rating giant issues chilling prediction for the entire banking industry." Another headline, "The end of everything bubble has finally hit the banking system. Credit Suisse and the SVB might just be the first of many shockwaves to come." Another headline reads, "Banking crisis worsens. Swiss Bank is the first too big to fail bank to be bailed out as Saudis withdraw support." Another headline, "Investor Carl Icahn issues grim warning of the U.S. economy. Billionaire Carl Icahn said that the U.S. economy is at a breaking point, blaming worse than mediocrity in its leadership and warning that soaring inflation threatens to topple America's position on the global stage. The system is breaking down, he said. We are absolutely at a point of major problems in the economic world today, he says. The United States is one of the worst countries in the world as far as the corporate governance is concerned. And the article goes on and on. Speak to that issue just a little. What do you see? What is your take on what we see happening with the financial markets, with the banking industry in America? What we have seen with the three major banks that have been shuttered, and Credit Suisse being bailed out now by some major investors. It was about to collapse. Is this just something that's happenstance? Is this something that we could have understood was coming? What do you think is the cause and effect, and how should we as believers view this, and how should we respond?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, as I stated earlier, we have laws in our country, and when people follow those laws, that's when things work properly. After the big stock market crash in 1929, the Securities and Exchange Act of 1933 was put in place to regulate securities and how they are supposed to work. And then in the Securities and Exchange Act of 1934, established the Securities and Exchange Commission, which means that they were supposed to monitor, regulate what goes on in our financial markets. And one of the biggest factors there is that when banks or investment companies are performing their duties, that those officers in charge must act in a fiduciary responsibility. In other words, what is going to bring the best return for the least risk to the shareholders, to the bondholders? But what we are seeing now is people who are in charge, even those who are in charge of the Securities and Exchange Commission, are not doing their job regulating and enforcing the laws that puts in place this fiduciary responsibility. We have these kids. Well, they're not really kids. They're adults, but they're in their 30s and 40s who are not doing the job of enforcing the fiduciary standards, that instead they're letting things like ESG, environmental social governance, leftist ideology take place, take precedence instead of making sure that when a decision is made, it's for the best interest of the customer. And that is why we saw Silicon Valley Bank fail so miserably, because they were not regulating that bank, that industry. What they were doing instead was allowing them to make these decisions that were based on leftist ideology instead of what is best for the customer. And we're seeing that not only with Silicon Valley Bank and what's the other, the security bank out of New York, but I'm reading that there are hundreds of banks that are involved. And the reason being is that they have not done their fiduciary responsibility of looking out for their customers first. And another big factor, as we saw with Silicon Valley Bank in particular, that its CEO and CFO knew what was coming, and they sold their shares in that bank to the tunes of millions of dollars. I think one ran off with $3.2 million, the other with $2.something million before the crash happened. That means they knew it was going to happen, that it was coming, which also means that that's what we call insider trading, which is illegal. They should be prosecuted for that. We're not hearing anything about that.
That's right.
And so that's why our banking system is in such danger right now, because the laws that are in place to protect customers are not being followed.
That's a good overview of it. In fact, Kevin O'Leary, which is a mega billionaire, and some perhaps have seen him and recognize that name on a program called Shark Tank that comes on where these mega billionaires do investments. Kevin O'Leary was interviewed recently on one of the channels, I think it was Fox. I believe it was Hannity that he was interviewed by, Carlson, I've forgotten which. But Kevin O'Leary was of the opinion that all of the regional banks and small banks need to be closed. He said what's happening is good, because we need only four major banks, and those four major banks will be the key bankers that will handle all transactions. Kevin O'Leary made the statement, and it was a frightening statement. Whether it's accurate is only God knows, but he said about 90%+ of all banking transactions take place electronically, and therefore, he says, with your handheld device, you can transfer funds, make deposits, pay your bills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he said, with the younger generation, he said, very few. He said, we have younger people today, young men, young women, that's never set foot in a real brick-and-mortar bank, and therefore there's no need for them. So what we see taking place is good for America, because after all, everything needs to be electronic without the brick-and-mortar buildings. And he said that we're going to watch, his words, we're going to watch the banking industry close and leaving about four major banks to handle the transactions for and through by the federal government. Now, my question to you, Congressman, is this. Does this connote what we've been seeing and is on the horizon to come into effect, the digital currency by the federal government? Is it possible that this is not just something that has happened in a happenstance way, but has been orchestrated by the federal government in order to eliminate the banking industry so that they can come in as the knight in shining armor and say, we're going to save your money, we're going to save your economy, and we're going to put in and enforce the digital currency rather than the greenbacks? How do you view that? Is that potential? Is that possible? What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I certainly hope not, Dr. Youngblood, for this billionaire who's really isolated from what's happening in the real world, to people who get up, go to work every day, and then try to go buy groceries and gas and send their kids to school. He has no idea of how they are suffering right now because of inflation and the high cost of just living day to day, which, by the way, happened intentionally. Inflation doesn't just happen on its own. Oh, prices are going up. No, it's because of our Federal Reserve putting too many dollars into our system. We had too many dollars chasing too few goods, which caused inflation. And for him to state that we only need four large banks to cover everything is ridiculous. Because then that means that should that happen, that the government will have more control over your everyday lives, which would be a disaster. I can use myself as an example, Dr. Youngblood, of why we need small regional banks to be able to operate effectively. When I first started my insurance and financial services agency back in 1990, and I needed money to get started simply to buy furniture for my office, I went to several banks and was turned down by these several banks because of the five C's of credit: capacity, capital, collateral, conditions, and so forth. They said, "You don't have any of that, Mike. You're just getting started." But finally, a small bank said, of those five C's, there's another one. It's called character. And he says, "You don't have any of the other four C's, the collateral, capacity, credit, and so forth, but I like your character. You seem to be an honest, good person. I'm going to lend you the money." Amen. That is what happens with small banks, community banks, that can sit down face-to-face and see a person instead of trying to apply online through these big mega banks, of which we see can still collapse. So we don't need all these big mega banks. We need more smaller community banks that we could operate with so that they don't come under control by the feds or by the government.
Do you foresee then, with that being said, do you foresee the potential of government control more of the people and on the people by an ID system that would be called the Fed coin or the Fed currency, which is electronic currency? And based on the present standing of the Biden executive order of over a year ago, it's the Fed coin is supposed to come into effect July, August of this year. It's already been introduced in several banking systems, the federal banking systems in New York. It's been introduced in other places on a small run as a test run of its operational system. Do you foresee that being a potential as an outgrowth of the banks collapsing and imploding, that they would use, the feds, they would use this as the reason, the rationale behind introducing the electronic currency? And then the second question on the heels of that, is it really about electronic currency or is it about control? What do you see is the rationale behind Biden pushing the electronic Fed coin currency?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head, Dr. Youngblood. It is all about control. This federal currency, electronic currency, is simply to control you. It can control where you spend your money and how you spend your money. A perfect example of that is if you wanted to go purchase legally, go purchase a handgun and ammunition, they can prevent you from doing that with this federal exchange currency, that they see where you're trying to purchase it, whether you walk into a store to get a gun shop or you try to get it online, they can block you from doing it. So I would say the only way money works is if it is accepted by both sides. And so I would encourage your listeners, do not participate in any kind of federal electronic currency. Just don't do it. To instead go ahead and continue using cash as much as you can, because that's what your credit card represents, is cash that you have in the bank at the time.
Or simply go to the barter system is where I believe we're headed. Congressman Hill, if you would hold on a moment right after the news, we want to talk about what's happening with the persecution and the prosecution with Donald Trump and the Manhattan DA named Alvin Bragg, and what is the cause, what is the effect, and how we should view that as citizens today. So hang on there, and we'll talk in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back in just a moment.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.